Hello and welcome to another installment of Casual Trekker. This is Scott. This is going to be one of my off-brand reviews, more or less reaction to the news of the Batgirl film cancellation and my thoughts on that and my views. And they're only of mine, and you know, we're all entitled to our opinions, so here is mine. So, we were steaming ahead, going to where you would have Flash come out, and you would have all these other movies come out that would make sense because of the Flash. Then all those problems with Flash and what was happening behind the scenes on that, and that led to the movie being delayed, and then that pushed the other properties that were connected to that being pushed out further, and then Batgirl kind of got off the schedule, and it kind of went downhill from there. Then we find out yesterday that they just straight up shelve a movie. Not going to be released either theatrically or just put onto a streaming service. It's not going to see the light of day. So, because the leadership doesn't feel that that's what they want to do for their DC going forward. And to that, I feel kind of irritated, really, because the movie's done, basically. I mean, they were to the point where they were having it where people were looking at it and seeing what worked and did not. And the overall idea is what it did not work. And they want to have a tentpole movie instead. And I'm kind of burnt out on tentpole movies, you know? Really just exhausting. And Batgirl, she's not Supergirl. She's Batgirl. And from all the things that I've heard, it works for what she's doing and what the movie is meant to be. A tentpole movie doesn't have to be all this explosions and crazy stuff going on, because then we're going to go, this is a Batman movie. Batgirl movie, even if it was Batboy, it was the same difference. It was meant to be smaller in the universe of Batman, but kind of like doing a smaller thing. It's kind of like, I don't want my Knight Rider to be a Shelby Mustang. I'd rather it be looking a little bit older and kind of blend in with everything. But because they want to have a banga 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 and woo-ah, then they ruin what I'm trying to watch because they think that's what I want to see when I don't. Because it's already done, because it's already finished, all they got to do is the post-production edits and everything else like that to finalize it, they should just release it. Even if it's just free. Even if you just release it free on YouTube. But apparently there was an article somewhere, I don't know how true it is, that they were going to do a tax write-off on it, get the money back they lost off of the movie. And they just couldn't make any money off of it. So there should be a way to where you can release it just so people can see what it was. Because a group of six people or whatever sitting in a room, their suit and ties and their seven-figure salaries, they're not the types of people that are going to be watching these movies in the first place. They only respond to dollars and cents and what that money looks like. So what they think is a horrible idea and looks crap, to the audience, it might be amazing. It doesn't matter if you don't like the idea of Batgirl. You don't want to see that. I mean, we've had so many numerous examples of how the opposite is true. You go back to 1989 when they were talking about Batman with Michael Keaton. Like, Mr. Mom's going to be Batman? That's going to be horrible. Now he's the most iconic Batman. When Ben Affleck was cast as Batman, how dare they? And then also now he's an iconic Batman. Henry Cavill as Superman. Some people were like, whoa, easy now. That's no Christopher Reeve. And also now he's our generation Superman. So there's too many examples to cite with how people reacted to something when it was first announced to how they responded after it was released. And you got to take in that character that they are presenting. So I think it's a little unfair to Batgirl, the cast, the crew, the writers, the directors, to say your work is crap because we want a big tentpole. Now your tentpole has to be amazing. Then when you release that tentpole, you then have to release Batgirl, so that we can see for ourselves, okay, I see what you did there, I see what you mean, I see how that movie wasn't as good. But then again, it could be the opposite. your tentpole movie, no matter how big the budget is, no matter how cool the costume looks, no matter how cool the story is, if the story falls flat and it's just a bunch of bleh, I might prefer the Batgirl one. And like, there was someone talking about the spoilers and what was going to happen in it in the most broadest senses of it. For me, I thought Michael Keaton was only going to have like maybe one or two scenes in Batgirl, maybe, because you want to be predominantly that character. You don't want it to be, you know, Michael Keaton. You want him to set up the stage for her to play in. So I thought just two. Somebody was complaining that there's only five. He only had five scenes. It's not a Michael Keaton movie. The fact that he has five scenes in Batgirl is amazing. That was like, okay, so they're going to actually give him something to do a little bit, and he's going to be able to be there. We'll feel his presence, and then we'll be able to go, okay, where do I put this Michael Keaton? Is he a different universe Michael Keaton? I'll be able to draw back from my Batman 1 and Batman 2 experience with him, go back home and watch those two movies, see if I see the character in Batgirl older, if it was the same Bruce Wayne, Batman then. It's just mystifying to me why they would like completely just shelve it. Like, I don't care if you're turning off HBO Max. Who cares? There's other ways to release your movie. And Batgirl was looking really good. You have J.K. Simmons coming back. You have Michael Keaton coming back. And then they're already filmed. I mean, they keep saying coming back. They make it out like the movie was not done. It's like season 3 of Picard, and something releases saying that this guy is going to be directing an episode of the season. It's already filmed. They've already done it all. So I think why more people aren't irritated by this is that they think the movie was not completed. Like, they had the idea, they pitched it, they wrote the script, they started shooting a little bit, and then it wasn't working out when they were seeing the dailies, and then they just canceled it and said it was a bad idea. That's not what happened here. They filmed the movie. They were to the point to where they were sending it to screeners, to where they were like, okay, how's this movie look? And they were getting feedback on it. That's a long ways into the movie. I mean, it's been edited, it's been put together. It's largely the narrative of the movie is all in one piece. And now they're shoving it, and no one's gonna see it. This is literally worse than Justice League. Justice League at least had a theatrical release, redone by somebody else, and then edited down with a whole bunch of stuff. You actually saw the movie. Then when years later, when they released the Snyder Cut of that movie, you got to see, okay, it's following the bare bones of what that story is, and here's how they expanded upon it, and you can make your own personal opinion of which movie you prefer. I prefer both, actually. I like both movies of Justice League and Snyder's Justice League. They hit different chords. They're the same movie. One is just more expanded and changes certain elements, which is fine. But I was able to see those for myself instead of some executive making a whole bunch more money telling me that he didn't like, he wants tent poles instead. I've seen many a tent poles that are crap or they just empty of anything necessary to do anything. And Batgirl's never been done on the big screen. So there's really no nothing you can go back to go, well, this is how they did Batgirl. The only time Batgirl has been done anywhere is either in comics, the 1960s TV show, or an animated movie that they have. Never live action. And inside of the movie, the reasoning for how she came up with her costume was amazing. People were complaining that it looked like cosplay. Well, that's exactly what it is. Because according to a few articles that they were talking about, where they were giving spoilers of the movie because it didn't matter anymore, she had a Batgirl costume Halloween, and she tweaked it to become her actual costume. So it technically is a cosplay costume. It works just fine. And it, as long as the colors are good, you know what you're looking at when you're looking at it. It doesn't need to be some cool looking outfit that was designed in style. This is supposed to be made by somebody. Not a crew of 40 people in a costume department making a costume. It's supposed to be made by Barbara Gordon herself. Like, that's the biggest complaint I had in Batman 2, when Selina Kyle was making this really great suit. I mean, she has no experience in that. She did not say that she worked in the fashion world. She was a secretary working for a douche. Fell out of a window, had a massive concussion. And had a bunch of situations going on upstairs, but she was able to put together an entire really cool Catwoman outfit that fast with no mess-ups at all. That kind of took me out a little bit. I needed to see a first generation. I needed like a Spider-Man thing where he dressed in this particular outfit first, and then that morphed into the Spider-Man costume that we know. So Batgirl could have started out in that cosplay-looking costume that she modified for Halloween, and then changed into the next movie, just like Batman did, from Dark Knight to Dark Knight, to from Batman Begins to The Dark Knight. He changed costumes. It did not look the same. It evolved. So you could have done the same thing with Barbara Gordon. And the events of the movie, I mean, I know just a little itty bits from what the spoiler said, but it sounded like it was fine. It didn't need to be some big thing. You know, like Supergirl, that movie in 84, starring Helen Slater. That movie was released. And I can barely stand the movie because of the whole witchcraft thing. But Helen Slater as Supergirl and Danvers, that really, like, it sold the movie for me. Like, the movie made it worth watching because of her performance as Supergirl. If Helen Slater was not Supergirl, or Linda Lee, sorry, I'm thinking of Supergirl from the new TV show on the CW. Linda Lee. If Helen Slater was not that character, both Linda Lee and Supergirl probably wouldn't have been as fun. It was about a witch who basically wanted, or a warlock or whatever, and wanted to take the power and do all these different things. And it was only in a small town. It was kind of like Carrie. And I mean, that movie was released. And it's got a cult following. I mean, I enjoy it. So, to just shut down every possible future fan so they can get a tax write-off, allegedly, and then to say that they're going to make a better movie, a better tentpole movie that more fits in line with their... I think I need to stop hearing a lot of words, and I need to get a... I need to hear a pitch. I need to hear what you mean by tentpole movie. If you're going to take away Batgirl, if you're going to take away all the things that I've seen, Michael Keaton coming back as Batman, I don't care if it's Bruce Wayne or not, since the second movie in the Batman saga back in the day, if you're going to shelve that to where I can't see it, you better have a damn good future vision. Because we don't have Michael Keaton forever. He's not 26 years old, okay? He's not. We've already had the passing of Nichelle Nichols a couple days ago. So, all of these stars are a rare commodity. So, to take his work, five scenes or not, and to shelve it to never be seen, that's bullshit. Complete trash. Release the movie free on YouTube so everybody can watch it. Release your tentpole movie that you want to have everyone watch. Then they can then judge the movies based off what they're actually seeing. Instead of shortchanging everybody involved, because that's all it's saying. It's like they're saying that the girl that played Batgirl was really bad or really horrible, or the plot was sucky, or this or that. When in reality, the movie could be really good, it's just not looking like The Dark Knight, or it's not looking like Justice League. And frankly, who gives a shit? We already have Justice League. We already have Dark Knight. Maybe I just want, like, Superman 4. I just want Superman flying, and I want a bad villain he's got to go up against, and it's just him and him, and a little cool thing with Lois Lane, and, you know, small little thing. It doesn't need to be huge. I could care less. If I'm gonna go watch a Superman movie, I'm putting it on Superman 4. It gets right to the point. You know who the villain is, and you're with the characters the most fast. So Batgirl was supposed to be a smaller endeavor. We get to see J.K. Simmons in the past as a dad raising Barbara Gordon to kind of brush more into his backstory. Then we get to see Barbara Gordon turn into Batgirl, which we haven't seen since the 1960s, because in the movie, Batman, when we saw Batgirl in the movie with George Clooney, that was Alfred's niece, not Commissioner Gordon. That's why I said earlier we didn't really have that Batgirl in a movie. We had Alfred's niece in the movie, who just happened to have a bat suit made up that he made. And so I feel like we need more than just Alicia Silverstone's Elsewhere's Batgirl. We need an actual Batgirl. And it looked like it was gonna be borrowing from the 1960s TV show with how it looked. I thought that was amazing. And this is constant news that the heads of the studio didn't like how it looked. It was just like, what are they basing this off of? I mean, test screenings aren't always accurate. It depends on if the person likes the property. It depends on a whole lot of different factors. Like, what did you go in thinking you were going to go watch? Like, whenever I watch a movie, I go in thinking I'm going to see a table read. So that way, I can be impressed with what I'm seeing. And then there might be a whole slew of situations or irritations that I have on the movie. But that doesn't mean at all that I can't find some good in it. And if the plot of Batgirl needed to be this huge thing, then it turns into, well, where's Batman? It turns into Suicide Squad, really, because you have this thing taking over the city and all this stuff, and the question on everyone's mind or should be is, where's Batman? If it's that big of a thing, where is Batman? Why is he not there? So, it being a smaller, more condensed, more character-based, more Barbara Gordon-centered thing, like, the thing she's doing might be a personal thing for herself, and it dives into her character. So it might not necessarily be a hugest thing, but then you got the tentpoles where you have, like, Dark Knight Rises, where the whole city is shut down, there's a bomb gonna explode, and then they're there for months. And then everyone's like pausing at that moment saying, where's the U.S. government? Why aren't they going in to do something? What's stopping nukes from being dropped? What's stopping all that from happening? So your tentpole movies tend to want to be big and bold. But the problem with big and bold is there's a lot of plot convenience that's associated with that that takes you out of it. Like Dark Knight, where the damn prison boat thing, that went on for too long to build up suspense on the dude just throwing out the damn window. It just ate at screen time. So just because something sounds good and when you say it or on paper, doesn't mean it's going to be good actually in reality. So robbing the audience of seeing something that could be great because you don't think it's going to be good is kind of like if somebody writes a poem and they're like, oh, this poem is complete garbage, I'm just going to throw it away. And then someone reads it and they're like, holy cow, this is great. It's not about how one person or five people or 10 people view it. It's how everybody views it to where you can actually get a average. So there is ways that you could release your movie free. It's not like you have to release it on HBO Max where it's a subscription. You could release that just free on YouTube. Just free. Just say, here you go. Get your tax write-off. Everybody gets to watch it. And you get to make your tentpole movie. Everyone gets to see whether she was good or not. Instead of people starting to make assessments off of what things sound like. I'm a big fan of Batgirl. I haven't really seen a lot of the comics or the cartoons, and I'm not really an animated person. That's why I like live action stuff. That's why I was super thrilled when they said that they were gonna bring it. It hasn't been back since 1997 when Batman and Robin came out, but we had a different version of her rather than the 1960s where it was Commissioner Gordon's daughter. So there are some differences. It kind of reminds me of Power Rangers when you had the TV show and they had their little spandex whatever, and then you go to the 1995 movie and then they all have that cool plastic metal looking armor thing. Kind of reminds me of that. Apples to oranges, basically. The overall idea is there and what they're doing is there, but how it looks while they're doing it is different. So when they said that Leslie Grace was going to be Batgirl, and it looked like the Barbara Gordon costume, and they were following the Commissioner Gordon as her, is Commissioner Gordon is her dad, and we're going to see them, her younger, and we're going to see her become this Batgirl, and there's going to be interaction between Michael Keaton and her. It got me really excited about it. Now I'm really worried about the Flash and what that means for the Flash going forward, because that was going to be huge, and that could have been where he had a smaller part in the movie. And then everything else was going to be kind of like the Marvel movies, where they have like one centralized person bouncing around in every single one of those movies. And all of those movies, those little bits like Samuel Jackson or something at the end of the movie doing a scene with someone makes that character more bigger overall to where you're talking about it, rather than the small little cameo that it is. So when Flash comes out, I hope that Michael Keaton gets his time to shine and is not just a quick little thing, and then the rest of his stuff was being replaced. Because that would be just a big, huge disservice and a slap in the face to Michael Keaton. I mean, he didn't have to come back to do Batman or Bruce Wayne. He didn't have to do any of that stuff. He is an actual cool actor that will reprise his stuff when it makes sense. Like, you don't just do it for a free cash grab, right? And then it was just because we haven't seen him as Batman since like what, 1992. So the idea that we were going to start seeing him again was going to, one, bring back Batman 1 and 2 and kind of merge them together a little bit to where the canon of Michael Keaton's Batman gets a little bit more time to shine. And now with this announcement of Batgirl being canceled after it was already filmed and not being released ever on platform or movie or DVD, I don't even know. It's just weird. Like, people were up in arms that Snyder didn't get to get his vision for a movie that he did, and they still released a version of it, reworked like a son of a gun, but still released, and we still got to watch it, and then a couple years later, we got to see the Snyder cut of that same movie. I feel like this is worse than that, because we don't even get to see that. We only get to see the little stills and a couple of the shots. Not to mention Brendan Fraser coming back and being a villain in the movie. So there's a lot of cool different things that would have been fun to watch. But now, you're not going to the theater to kind of like just enjoy what you're seeing. You're looking at it and going, well, they did it in this movie, they did this in that movie, and they did this in that movie, so this is no longer fun for me. But like with most TV shows and most movies, everything pretty much is a recycling of something else that somebody else did, because everyone works generally the same when they're working out their story, so they're going to have commonalities. It's how you execute it that matters. Like, we're all familiar with the thing, oh, this is like Face Off meets Blank Slate meets Daredevil, you know? You have elements of each of those movies, but it has its own narrative, it has its own path, and you can trace it. You're seeing, you know, carryover from those different things. That's where you get the whole, oh, this is this and that meets this meets that. But it still is its own thing. So Batgirl had every possible chance of being a hit, but they robbed it of it by saying that it's not. And when anyone says that the movie has failed, everybody online has to say the most meanest things about it. They got to make a bunch of assessments, and those assessments become fact. They only become a fact because no one researches what they're agreeing with. That's like if one person says the bridge is fine, and then everyone keeps asking that one person, is the bridge fine? It's fine. So now 30 or 40 people think the bridge is fine, and they're telling all their friends the bridge is fine. Then, when they actually drive at 60 miles an hour to go over the bridge, it's a foggy day, they think the bridge is fine. Meanwhile, they're just driving straight off the goddamn bridge because nobody thought to check the bridge themselves. And that's what's happening here. We're getting told the bridge is fine. In reality, it's not. So I think that eventually, with enough backlash, they're going to release the movie, even if it's not completely done. I don't believe it was a heavy effects-driven movie in the first place. I think it felt more like it was in line with the Joker, production-wise. So I think that they could release it at some point. They're probably going to. They just want a lot of people talking about it right now. But that's not the way that you make people talk about the movie, is that you're going to greenlight a movie, and then you're going to cancel the movie after it's already filmed. That makes people not want to make movies with you. Like, if I want to make a movie, like, oh, you want to make a movie? Sure. All right, let's go make a movie. And I make it, and then you cancel it. Sure, I got paid for it, but I don't get to see it. No one else does. No one else does it. That's why I wasted my fucking time. Who likes wasting their time? Whether you pay me to do something or not, if I didn't do it, eventually, that's going to gnaw at me. If you want to give me $20 to take you to the store, but I never take you to the store, eventually I'm going to start feeling like an asshole. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? I'm good. No, I don't need your money. Because you never go. Right? So people that make movies, they want their stuff to be seen. That's the whole purpose of them. It's not to make the money, really. It's to pay their bills, yes. But it's exposure. It's to be seen. That's how people get discovered and do other movies. Oh, I saw their work on this movie and did a really great job, so I want to cast her in this movie. If you don't give the, not to mention the actors, but the production designers, the people's names that come at the end of the movie that no one actually pays attention to, those people all did stuff on this movie for a long time. So it's robbing every single one of them of all of that time. And basically making it to where it never happened. Because they can't talk about it because no one saw it. They'll have no idea what they're talking about. It's like me talking to my family about fucking Star Trek. Nobody understands the hell I'm talking about because no one watches it. Same thing is going to happen here. If the studio continues doing the nonsense that they're doing, people aren't going to make movies with them. Or they're going to demand hellaciously high paydays because of it. Or they're going to have it in their contract. If the movie gets shelved after production, after photography finishes, I get $5 million. That's what's going to start happening. It's going to be a punishment to the studio for not releasing a movie that they greenlit, that the people took their time out of their lives to make, so other people could watch. That's my take on it. Anyway, I know this is kind of wordy and kind of rambly, but all of my stuff is pretty much in and of the moment as I'm saying, because I don't have a lot of time to write stuff down or try to take notes on things. So it's kind of just my personal opinion as I'm talking, as it's flowing. So I'm just disappointed that we're getting a take two on the Snyder Cut, but with Batgirl. Unnecessarily too. So hopefully this issue is rectified, and eventually we do get to see Batgirl, even if it has to be free, so they can get their tax write-off that they allegedly are trying to do. There's no definitive release on that, but that's just an article that I saw, and that's why they can't release it on either of those things, because they can't take payment for it in order to claim it. But if that's true, then that has yet to be seen. But we're based off opinions, and if it looks like a duck, cracks like a duck, smells like a duck, and looks like a fucking duck, chances are it's not a goddamn rhino. So, almost 30 minutes of my rambling here. So, I'm going to wrap this up with, I'm a big Batman fan. big DC fan. I love all those movies. I love all the characters. And I hope that we get to see Batgirl eventually. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. This will conclude this podcast. Thanks for listening.